I'm speaking today with Christy Thebout, who is the Democratic candidate in House District 133. Christy, you ran for this office in 2006. So the first question I have is, what made you decide to do it again?
Well, that's a good question. I asked myself that too, and I think the reason I decided to run again is because now I was able to see my opponent in action, and now I believe more than ever that especially ALEAF needs a representative that's out for their best interests. So I don't think that my opponent does that. And also, one of the biggest things that I worked on last legislative session was I was working to lower utility rates, and I look forward to working on that this coming up legislative session.
Okay. What would you say you learned from being a candidate before, and how are you applying that to this time around?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think the first time that I was a candidate, I can honestly say that turnout was low. It was an off-year election, and I knew that in 2 years it would be a much better opportunity for me. And I would say the difference between these two races are the fact that the amount of resources that I've gotten, the amount of support that I've gotten, the amount of endorsements that I've gotten, it's a night and day election. But as a candidate, I think what you learn the most is to never give up and keep fighting, and that if you don't ask, you don't receive, and just keep working at it. You just have to really have a lot of belief and a lot of confidence and just keep going.
Would you say that, you know, as you talk to voters, that the basic issues are the same from 2006 to 2008, or are they mostly different?
You know, I think they're relatively the same, but I would think that in talking to people, mostly what they really are concerned about this time around are pocketbook issues, utility rates, gasoline, the rising cost of gasoline, things along those lines, rising tuition rates. Those seem to pop out a little bit more this time around. I think last time everybody was really concerned about crime. Not that people aren't still concerned about crime. I just think that economic issues are starting to really take over.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that then. I mean, specifically utility rates. You said you did work on that during the last legislative session. Talk to me, please, a little bit about what specifically you did and what you would like to see the legislature do in 2009 to address the issue of rising utility rates.
Well, there was a bill, and I can't remember who sponsored it, but there was a bill that we got behind and supported.
We being
ACORN. ACORN is a group that represents low to moderate income folks. And what we do is we try and push for things like affordable housing and lower utility rates. There were two things that we worked on last legislative session. One was the System Benefits Fund, which is a fund that's set up to help disabled seniors and people of below the poverty rate with their bills if they have a problem. And the problem being is with the System Benefit Fund is that there's plenty of money in the fund, but it never gets allocated. So what I would work for is to completely restore the System Benefit Fund, and once again, let's use the fund for what it was intended. And the second thing that we were working on, there was a bill that was Sylvester Turner's bill. The bill that I can't remember who sponsored was a 15% cut in utility rates that would force utility companies to reduce their rates by 15%. It was pretty much a very easy bill. My opponent voted against it. And so I would do something like that. And I also think we need to put on the table re-regulating. I don't know exactly how we do that, but I think it should be a topic of conversation. When they voted for deregulation, only Dallas and Houston, the markets in these areas, were affected. And the other legislators basically voted to exempt their home areas. They voted for it if they could exempt their areas. And now I see why. They have some of the lowest utility rate, the utility cost in the country, whereas if you live in Houston and Dallas, it's the opposite. Now you have the highest utility rates in the country. So I think it's been an abysmal failure, and I think that we need to go back to the table and revisit it.
Okay. Well, along those lines, college tuition and deregulation, as you know, in 2003, the legislature passed a law allowing public universities in Texas to set their own tuition rates in return for there being less money allocated to them. College tuitions have gone up dramatically, over 100% in the past 5 years or so. Do we need to re-regulate there as well?
Absolutely. I'm in favor of re-regulating college tuition. I think it, once again, we went and had an experiment and to see how this would work. And I just don't understand how, since we deregulated it, that costs have gone up 60%, over 60% in such a short amount of time. And families are no longer able to afford tuition for their kids. They're having to go into debt for this. I just think that I think what we've done is shortchanged our next generation. You're not going to see as many people going into the teaching field, for example, because after you incur all these debts, you can never afford to pay off the debt on a teacher's salary. So I think you have to look at the overall picture and how it's going to affect everybody. Plus, for the fact now that we've made college for those that can afford it. And it, once again, I think it's an elitist attitude, and I think it's wrong, and I think we need to revisit it.
Okay. Well, obviously, that's going to take some more revenue, and you know, when you're talking about the system benefit fund, what often happens to dedicated funds like that in the legislature, as you know, is that those funds wind up getting raided for other purposes.
Although the system benefits fund is basically just used to balance the budget.
Right. But that's the purpose. I mean, the budget balancing is a requirement of the Constitution. Where I'm going with this is, you know, there are other funds like for
Parks
the gas tax, the mm-hmm. parks and wild, right, the sporting apparel tax, etc., where there's a lot more momentum now for using those funds specifically for their purpose and cutting off the legislature from appropriating them for other needs. To do that, you need more money in general revenue to fund the things that it's supposed to fund. Where's that money going to come from?
Well, I think first of all, we have money. We have a $10 billion surplus. And I would tell you that I think it's about priorities, about where you want to spend your money. Are we going to constantly give companies tax breaks or tax incentives to come to this state? It's already a pretty damn good place to work. And so I think we need to revisit things like the governor's
enterprise fund.
Thank you very much. The governor's enterprise fund and other things like that. I just think that if you have a dedicated fund, that is my pet peeve about the legislators. If you have a designated fund, it needs to go to that fund. Otherwise, you don't need it. And I will tell you, talking to people around my district, it infuriates them. They always ask me, what about the money for the lottery? Isn't that supposed to go to education? You have to explain what happened to that, too. So I think that we have these funds set up, we use them for their purpose, or we get rid of them. And then I would just say to your first question, which was, how do we have more money? I'd say, number one, it's about priorities. What do you want to fund? And how are we going to do things more efficiently? I think we've shown that when you try and privatize certain parts of our government, that it's been a failure. And so I would say that we have to be more responsible. We have to watch what we spend. But we have the money. It's there.
Okay,
Let's use it.
Of course, some of that surplus you mentioned, a lot of that money is already going to be used towards paying for the property tax cuts that were passed in the 2007 session. For this coming biennium, I think another $3 or $4 billion is being set aside for that. Now that those cuts were supposed to be paid for by the business margins tax, except that it doesn't have enough, and a lot of people are upset about the business margins tax, saying that it's too big a burden on small business, and while it gives too good a deal to bigger businesses. So my questions are, What would you like to see done with the business margins tax? And, do you think we need to revisit those property tax cuts from the previous session?
I think since schools are struggling to meet their budgets, that I think we're definitely going to have to revisit it. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do with the business margins tax, but I think it needs to be looked at, and I think we need to come up with some alternatives. And I also would say that the property tax cuts need to be looked at. How in the world are we going to keep mandating? How in the world is the state going to keep mandating teacher pay raises? Now we're going to have 4 years of math and science. How are we going to pay for that? They keep mandating things, and the local properties and the local school districts can't afford it. So I would say, absolutely, we're going to have to look at this. We're going to have to stop. The state's going to have to stop mandating things unless they have the money to pay for it. It's just not fair for the local school districts to have to pay for these things. And obviously, as you know, most school districts eventually will become insolvent due to this. I know Ailey School District is one of those. I think I talked to Dr. Sterner, and he said anywhere between 3 to 5 years, the school district would become insolvent because they couldn't afford everything that they have. and they have a declining enrollment as well. So they have several things, and their tax base isn't what HISD, for example, is. So there's not a lot of businesses out in that area. So of course we're going to have to revisit it.
One thing that I'm hearing a lot about lately from other Democrats and just seeing in the newspapers is that there seems to be a greater interest in expanding legalized gambling in the state of Texas. It's been those who support it cite it as a potential revenue source. What is your position on the expansion of gambling in Texas?
Well, I think it depends on what you're talking about. I think if it's casino gambling, I might be less inclined for something along that. But if you're talking about video game, I know I've heard the video slot machines at existing racetracks. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think we're going to have to just look for different sources of revenue. We have a growing state. We have growing needs, and I think everything ought to be on the table. We should look at it.
Okay. Obviously, one of the things that's different this year than 2006 is that we experienced the direct force of a hurricane, which caused a lot of problems, mostly with power outages in Houston. Let me ask you, what was your experience with Hurricane Ike, and what, if anything, do you think the legislature should do to encourage or require utility companies to do more to try to mitigate against the effects of a future hurricane?
Well, look, I'm all in favor of looking at different ways that we can strengthen our power grid, whether it might be from more tree trimming to cement poles to putting some of our structures underground. But I think you have to really look at the feasibility of it, because regardless of whether you and I like it, especially because of deregulation, you and I are going to pay for it. So we have to look at a cost benefit. And I think maybe we even look at what areas were hit hardest. Why don't we start there? Let's see if we can fund that first. But I think it's all on the table. I think anytime you have a natural disaster, you have to go and look back and see what you did well and see what you didn't do so well. And then you go and work from there. And I think we look at companies like CenterPoint. I don't think we look at them so much as the antichrist. I think we look at them as a partner, and let's see what we can do to work with them and not make them look bad, but let's see what we can do as a partner with them to solve the problem.
Okay. Health insurance is an issue for a lot of people these days. As you know, in 2003, and I know I asked you this before in 2006, because it's still the case, the legislature, passed a law that, tightened up the requirements for being eligible for CHIP, and a couple hundred thousand kids were removed from the rolls. They have, they loosened that up a little last time, and some children have been re-added, but it's still at lower than the levels we had before. What do you want to see the legislature do about this?
Well, they did do one good thing last session, which was they changed the six-month requirement enrollment to 12-month. So that was a step in the right direction. But any time that children are removed from the rolls, it's not a good thing for Texas. I really don't understand the short-sightedness of particular people in leadership in our state. I think that when kids have preventative health care, and when they can be seen in a clinic instead of an emergency room, I think it benefits all of us. It's not only because it's morally the right thing to make sure that our kids have health insurance, but it's an economic benefit for everybody. I mean, everybody knows how much less it costs to be treated in a doctor's office than it would be to go to an emergency room. It makes sense. And we're not talking about people who are unemployed. We're talking about working families. I think the very least that we can do for our state is to make sure that all of our kids have health insurance.
Okay. The district you represent is on the west end of Harris County, and it's kind of traditionally been, more of a Republican area. Your district covers part of John Culberson's and part of Al Green's, and as you alluded to in the earlier question, you do expect to get kind of a turnout boost this year as opposed to 2006. What are you seeing out there in terms of, Democratic versus Republican prospects overall? What does your district look like these days?
Well, whether you know it or not know it, my district is one of the most diverse districts in Houston. The demographic breakdown is as follows. It's roughly 34% Anglo, 27% Latino, 23% African American, 16% Asian. So it's very, very, very mixed. We are expecting that anywhere between 22 and 25% of my boat is going to be African American. And in saying that, the excitement, the enthusiasm, as shown in the primary numbers were unbelievable. We normally, in this district, vote 2,000 people in a presidential year primary. This year, we voted over 13,000. That was a 2-to-1 margin over the Republicans, which makes it a very, very competitive race. I even, without doing one thing, I got more than 2,500 votes over my opponent. In the primary. So I think that there's a real opportunity for us to take this seat. I only need to get about a third of the Anglo vote. So if those numbers hold up, if 22 to 23% of my vote's African American, I only need a third of the Anglo vote, and I got that last time. So I think that I'm in the money. I think I'm in the running. I think this district trends less and less Republican every year. I think Dr. Richard Murray said it's 2,000 less Republicans every year. So it becomes less and less Anglo. So I think that it just makes my race very, very competitive. Am I going to win? Of course I'm going to win.
Well, that's good to hear.
It's competitive.
Well, and you know, one thing I should mention, one major difference for you since the last time you ran is that you had a son in June.
Oh, thank you for asking about that. Yes.
You know, tell me, how has that changed your perspective and changed the way you've run a race?
Well, it's made me smarter. Because my time now is very limited. As you know, I have a four-month-old son, Christopher Frank, and he requires a lot of my time. So my staff does a lot more of my work this time around instead of me micromanaging, I think, which I love to usually know every little detail that's going on. I've been able to relax a little bit more, have a little bit more faith in my staff, and let them do some of the things that I normally would do. And I've spent most of my time raising money. I don't even know how much money we've raised, but we've raised so much more money than last time because I was able to concentrate on that. And I've gotten so many more key endorsements, and I think we're doing really well. So I would just say this is a race to watch.
Okay. When people go to the polls, starting very soon for early voting, yes. How do you want them to think about this race?
How do I want them to think about this race? I want them to vote straight party. I want them to vote for every single Democrat on the ticket because I think it's really important that this state, that this county become Democratic. And I think there's been a lot of corruption locally, and I think it's time that we give the Democrats a chance to run the administrative offices countywide, and let's do a good job. So I think that a vote for me, a vote for Obama, a vote for all our countywides is a good thing. I know it sounds cliche, but we really do need a change, especially in this county.
All right, Christy Thibault, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it.